This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Here is Kyle Shanahan today, and he opened up his discussion by talking about the team's injuries.
Javon Hargrave, triceps, will not practice. Debo, calf, won't practice. D. Winters, ankle, won't practice. Trent Williams is sick, won't practice. George Kittle, hamstring, limited.
Brock Purdy's full go?
Full go.
Everything?
Yep.
Did you get any update from Christian on his trip? Was it helpful?
No update. I'm going to talk to him.
Is there a chance he won't play this season?
Not that I know of.
You know that you're a big fan of analytics. There's
sometimes
an analytic out there about separation win rate for receivers, and Brandon Ayuk is at the top of that list. I'm just wondering whether you're sort of saying the same thing, that he is separating like he's done in the past.
You're saying top isn't separating a lot? Yeah, I definitely think he is. We played a lot of zone coverage here in the last couple weeks. Usually when it's zone and there's not many people around the guys, there's just people underneath. It's about throwing over people. And he's done a good job of man covers too.
How do you think it's going defensively? Obviously the stats aren't there. You mentioned guys are getting open deep. We asked you then, is there something structurally that's going wrong here? Or how do you circle what's been happening?
I think all three levels have had an issue at times. I think that we played good at times, too. I didn't say a lot of guys are getting deep on us. Both of them. It's been twice in three games, which were big ones. But when you have the PIs, those are too big of penalties too. But two guys have gone by our defense. One just caught us sleeping a little bit, and the other one, I think, was basically yelling 500 and bombing it, and had him in double coverage, and the guy made a hell of a play. But nothing structurally wrong with that, but two plays that you would love to have back. But I just think, we've had some new guys in there. We've had moments where we've been strong, but we're not playing up to how we usually do, and we got to make sure to get back to playing that way.
What's Brandon Staley's role been in these first few games, and could you see this evolving as the season goes?
Evolving in what? His?
Doing more things, doing different things?
No, he does. He works like all the other coaches do, and he's the same as all the other coaches. He's not here to do anything extra than that. That's what you're asking.
For so long, you guys you relied on your front four to generate most of your pass rush. Without Javon now, especially, do you feel like you have enough there to do that, or do you see maybe adjustments having to be made in terms of that?
I mean, you got to have plans for that. Like, and we do when Javon's here. I mean, you would love to always get there with front four. That's the goal. Getting there with four and having seven guys in coverage makes it a lot harder for the offense. But if you can't do that, you got to mix it up. We mixed it up throughout the year. I thought our D line last week affected the quarterback the most that they had in their three games. They had one of their better games, but it's a huge loss losing Javon. Guys gonna have to step it up, and when you don't have the rush, then you got to turn to other things schematically.
Now, what does Mayo's defense look like? What's that challenge going to be this week?
It looks very similar to how it's always looked in New England. I mean, there are multiple looks, multiple fronts. They play the run very physically. I mean, I think they're top five this year, and last year I think they were top two. So the way they stop it with their front seven, the way their front players two gap, how good their safeties are in tackling, and when they do play man coverage, where they do quite a bit, their secondary is as good as there is at it.
You described in great detail Monday about that busted coverage. Is there enough time in the day for you and the offense to go through all the scenarios on any given play? Not only what their defense, what to do against a particular defense, but what to do if there is a bust and how they bust it?
That makes no sense. I'm sorry. You don't go through when people mess up what to do. That's off schedule is what people call it. And when it happens, you hope people see it. But you don't sit there and make up stuff all week and go through it. Hey, if I make this up, I want to prepare you for what you need to make up at the time. So that would be something that no one would ever would do. But
you did mention that I did the right thing.
Yeah.
You have general rules in place for that kind of stuff?
Yeah, when no one's there, like just if they had 10 people on the field and no one lined up over the receiver, you know, we don't want him to just sit there and run a slant. I hope he puts his hand up and runs a go route so he walks into the end zone, and I hope the quarterback's looking that way and sees it. And be the same thing when a corner's supposed to play deep half and he sits at the line of scrimmage and they have two people and you're going to run your route and no one's there, you look up and do the same thing. But that's something that happens in football a lot, happens throughout the games, and that was a big one because it happened at the end, but we just didn't fall into it the right way.
Is that feel an off-schedule play something that you would develop in training camp? And that
no, the other 10 plays that Brock scrambled on and did, those are off-schedule plays like that we did throughout the game. But what you guys are getting at a busted coverage is just, it's sorry, but it's way off. Like it's, that's not really part of something that's, it's off schedule plays that, you know, I think Brock's done a really good job of finding those guys. He didn't find them there.
On Friday, I think John Lynch said that maybe Jacob Cowing is getting ready to get in some action, maybe time to see some of the things he can do. Was that sort of the plan you have? A general idea, okay, let's get a younger player into the game, and then why didn't it happen?
Because it wasn't the plan. If there would have been injury, he would have, but he wasn't ready to do that yet, and so we kept him at punt returner. But you have five guys up, so if someone did get hurt, he had to be ready, and then he would have got those reps.
Is he getting close to being ready for that?
We'll see this week. Nothing's happened here in the last few days. We got practice today, and we'll see how he does. I hope so.
Do you have any sense of where Ricky is psychologically, emotionally, and whether he would be viable possibility to play after this week?
I'm not exactly sure the timeline, but I know he's getting a lot healthier. Seems great when I talk to him, but that's something you could ask him.
What are you emphasizing with the special teams units this week, and are you going to pay closer attention to him?
I got a lot of confidence in Brian. I mean, you know, he's sick about some of these plays that have happened here this last couple weeks. We're just trying to be on every detail, like, you know, like we try to every week. But yeah, we can't have these two mistakes. You know, I thought we were in a bad, you know, I didn't think we had the right look on the fake punt. But as far as with the block punt and stuff, it's just going back to technique, coaching guys up on that better, who, you know, who are in that for the first time, and making sure they can continue to get better so it doesn't happen again.
Kyle, do you sleep a little bit easier this week knowing Bill Belichick isn't on the opposing sideline when the Patriots are here?
I mean, I don't really think about that stuff much. Just watching them on tape, they look like a real good team, and I know we're going to have a huge challenge for us.
Well, I know Kyle Juszczyk is a big part of your offense, but what does he bring that maybe we don't see?
Just the threat of a fullback out there all the time. You know, we're in a lot of 11 formations, so people like to go nickel defense to defend one back formations. But when you have a fullback on the field at any time, there's a threat of I formation. So defense have to account for that. And there's some things that you do in one back that aren't very sound versus two back. So sometimes it can limit the looks we get and things like that.
It's been asked by analysts and discussed by former players, analysts, that, you know, can the Niners right the ship and kind of survive with all the injuries that you have right now? I just want to know, like, what are you kind of talking to the team about? Is that an overarching feeling between the guys? Like, can we survive with all these injuries, or are you guys kind of...
I mean, every time you have injuries, everyone knows that makes it tougher, but people have injuries throughout the league, and you got to be able to overcome those. You know, I felt we had every chance to win on Sunday, despite some of our injuries. So I felt we should have been 2-1, but we found a way to lose that, which is completely on us. And when you lose games that you believe you should have won, it makes it that much harder. Injuries or no injuries. So I don't look into that to really why we lost. We had every opportunity to win that, and we made some mistakes that cost us, and that's what I hope we learn from. Not think about who we were missing. I thought we did some things that was good enough to win, but doing things that just good enough to win doesn't always guarantee you win, and you got to make sure you do it all the way to the end. And sometimes it's who can do right longer, and we didn't finish that to the end, and I don't think that has anything to do with injuries.
Talked about the run defense specifically, and where does Javon's injury kind of fall into that? Who do you need to see step up on the inside?
It makes it tougher. I mean, when you have four inside guys up, you know, on your roster, and then you go down to three, it always makes it tougher to stop the run. But we got guys on practice squad that we need. We'll see how that works out as this week goes. And you got to think of other fronts too and stuff that we got to do at times. So a lot of stuff plays into that. And, you know, Javon, whether it's run game or pass game, it makes it harder.
Brock had, you know, 10 runs. I realized at least, what, two of those were quarterback sneaks. instincts, but is that, I mean, usually he doesn't scramble that much. Is that probably a couple reasons for it, but is it partly a function of him not having all his guys, normal guys out there?
No, I think he got a lot of three-man rushes. When you have a three-man rush, usually that's the number one thing. You stay in the pocket and try to buy time. And once they eventually get you out of the pocket, you know, you have eight guys looking at you, and you break to get someone to come up to open people up. And if they stay in coverage, then you take what you can get. A couple times, you know, he jumped the cadence a couple times, and he had to just get up in there and break out. But I think, you know, with the number being so high, I think it had to do with a few quarterback sneaks and a number of three-man rushes. And then the typical three times that it happens other place. All right, guys.
All right, guys. There it is. Kyle Shanahan. Anything stand out to you?
Well, a lot. I mean, partly not that he's throwing the coordinator, the special teams coordinator, under the bus, but there are things that need to get shored up, and younger players on the unit, and they have to be coached up to know that you can't get outflanked on that fourth and six. And you see the formation of the punt team that the Rams ran a fake out of, and there's no other way they would have faked it. There was no way they were going to throw it. You had a running back as the up man, and if it was going to be a fake, that was the fake they were going to run, which was basically student body left, and you got outflanked.
You know what I heard is the answer that you, in particular, have been waiting for. Which is, I heard in answering a question, I heard him suggest.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
That if the front four's not going to get home, it's time to start trying something else.
Right.
And so I wonder if you experiment with that a little bit in this particular game, or do you try to hold over a little bit more because you're not nearly as afraid of Jacoby Brissett beating you with some elite throws over the top as you are with Matt Stafford? I don't know. You know, and I don't know much about the Patriots' offensive line, but it was interesting to hear Greg Cosell talk about that particular matchup and how the Patriots can succeed at an NFL level, which means they need Ramondre Stevenson to do a lot in the run game. And if they get that, then they can function a little bit and you can grind out your 20-17 win. It's kind of the same game that they had twice, and they were able to hold off Cincinnati. Then at home, they were not able to hold off Seattle. They lost 23-20 in overtime. But if you do stuff those holes and stop Ramondre Stevenson, you get what you got from the Jets last Thursday night, which is an offense that flat out can't function. So I don't know. The Niners might be able to go vanilla again, and that might be enough in this one.
They might, and if it means you stop the run, that would be something that they struggled to do against Kyron Williams and the Rams in the second half. And you know, when you lose your big boy up front, Javon Hargrave, gone for the year, and Kyle said that, like, well, now maybe you do have to look at some different things and stuff, because ideally you'd be able to do it with four and cover with seven, and that makes it hard on the offenses and stuff.
Yeah. It ain't ideal and stuff right now, though.
No.